Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
We're sort of in an interesting, very exciting time as a church, because even in the midst of restrictions, I guess, we're really believing that God has got expansion for us, not just as a church, but as people. And part of that expansion process is we're going through, actually we signed the papers this morning for purchasing the house next door, so that is just so exciting. Every pastor that is doing anything incredible for God, basically they say if there's any land that comes up around your church site, buy it, because God is always into expansion. He's never really into subtraction when you read through the Bible. It's always expansion, and I'm going to be talking about that soon. So we're so excited about that. We're so excited about what God is doing over in Scotland. They are, even though they haven't been able to meet like for almost 6 months now, they're doing such an amazing job over there. We're excited about what God has got for us in store for Fiji. We've still got those tickets on hold. We were supposed to be going over in like March, but obviously that's been postponed. We're so excited about what God is doing here in the city through Christians Against Poverty. I'm just so excited about what God doing here and through us as a church. So it's good, even though 2020 has been dumb, 2020 has been awesome in many instances. So I'm starting a series this morning all about bigger, getting a bigger idea of how awesome God is, getting a bigger idea about what God has got for your life and what God is wanting to do through your life, because our vision is too small. God has got bigger plans for us. So I'm really excited about that. This is sort of like the beginning of a lead up into our expansion offering, which is going to be at the end of September. And we haven't taken up an offering for expansion for like 3 or 4 years now. But so we're so excited about being able to give you guys the opportunity into sowing into what God is doing here. So this is sort of like a bit of a lead up, but I just don't really want to just talk about money. Prosperity is so much more than that. But God has got good plans for this church, for you guys, and I'm really, really excited. Isaiah 54 verse 2, which is going to be our sort of text for the next couple of weeks. So as a key leadership, as we've been talking about this verse has just been jumping out so strongly. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. You're saying, what on earth has tents and stakes got to do with me and my life in 2020? This prophecy, or this encouragement, was an encouragement to the people of God, the Israelites, way back in the Old Testament when they were in captivity in Babylon. So they had like almost 70 years of being slaves, of being dispossessed from their land. And then God starts to encourage them with these incredible verses, even in the midst of restriction. Enlarge the place of your tents. Basically, expand, guys. I've got incredible things for you for the future. So it wasn't just a prophecy, although it was originally for Israel. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul grabbed a hold of this chapter, especially verse 1 in Galatians chapter 4, verse 27, and he repeats it basically verbatim, encouraging the New Testament church. So I love that about prophecies. It can be spoken into one era and one time to a certain group of people, but because God is so awesome, he still keeps it relevant for generations onwards from that. So this was a message of encouragement for the New Testament church, and you can read that for homework if you want, Galatians 4. And then I really do believe this is a message in season for us as a church, even in 2020. So we're going to be unpacking this. We're really excited. Just like I was saying, expansion offering coming up at the end of September, the house next door, new roof. We need a new roof because this one leaks every time it rains. New building front, including a portico around the front. Renew care, which is really important. Like I said, continued support for Renew Church Scotland and Fiji. So just a couple of facts, maybe two or three, about this, about blessing, about expansion that we've actually really got to understand right from the get-go. If we don't understand, if we don't get these facts right, our foundation and our understanding of God is going to be really flimsy and distorted. Number one, get ready for it. God's will for us is that we prosper. God's will for us is that we prosper. Now, prosperity has become a little bit of a dirty word these days, because obviously there are people that take this to the extreme. And we all sort of known and heard about pastors and ministries. It's like, oh, I prayed for a Lamborghini and I got this. And it's because I gave twice as much in church. I gave 11% instead of 10%, sort of thing. Just as an example. So I understand there is an extreme, but in our attempt to bring balance, let's not fall into the other ditch. And instead of believing God for prosperity, grabbing a hold of a poverty gospel, which is so easy to do in our struggle, I guess, in our challenge to become balanced New Testament Christians. The fact still stands. God's will for us is that we prosper. Psalm 35, verse 27 says this, "But let all my true friends shout for joy, all those who know and love what I do for you. Let them all say, the Lord is great, and he delights in the prosperity of his servant." God delights in your prosperity if you are a son and a daughter of God. That is actually really exciting when you think about it. John 10:10, we know this well. Actually, let's just carry on with those verses. "Then I won't be able to hold it in. Everyone will hear my joyous praises all day long. Your righteousness will be the theme of my glory song of praise." So prosperity is not really the issue here. It's always about God. But God loves blessing his people so that we can be a blessing to others, because, man, they need it. John 10, verse 10, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." That is Satan's purpose for you. It's not God's purpose for you. It's Satan's purpose for you, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, this is the purpose of Jesus, is to give them, to give you a rich and satisfying life. Other translations of that, "I have come so that they may have life and life in its fullest measure." Another translation, "But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." That is God's plan for you. That's really exciting. We should be more excited about that, actually. God wants to bless me. Oh, man, not again. This is lame. "I came so that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." God's plan for us is that he prospers us, not so that we can just become hoarders of stuff, but so that we can actually change the world. 3 John 1:2, this is the King James Version, or the New King James Version, "Beloved," which means sons and daughters of God, New Testament church, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God's plan for us all is that we are blessed, that we are prosperous, so that we can actually do what he's called us to do. And again, some of us have a bit of a struggle with this word prosperity. My definition, and I'll explain my definition. You know when you, maybe if you watch CSI on telly or something, and we've had a couple of break-ins here over the years, so I sort of understand this firsthand, that the police come in and they dust for fingerprints. They dust for evidence that someone has been there. And you normally see all these fingerprints all over the place when they dust for prints. You know that someone has been there because the evidence is all over the crime scene. Now, I really do believe that true biblical prosperity, that we become like that scene, but instead of some crim's fingerprints, we have, and it's seen and obvious, that God's evidence of where he is and who he is all over our life. The fingerprints of God is all over your life, in your relationships, in your thinking, in your health, in your finances, how you go about life, how you do your work. is the evidence of God all over your life? Is his fingerprint seen in your life? I really do believe that is a biblical definition of prosperity. I want people to look at my life and think, wow, there's something about Simon and Christy's life, and I haven't got it, and I want it. And really, a lot of that's not about stuff. It's having something about us, and we know it's God, that the world so desperately needs, and they haven't found him yet. So if you're challenged with this, about this whole prosperity thing, I just really ask you, just go and ask God. You know, if this is upsetting you, please just go and ask God, what is it about this that is upsetting you? I was talking to someone yesterday, and he won't mind me saying this, that when he got saved, he really did believe that it was godly to be in poverty. And I love that we are a church that stands for the ministry, Christians Against Poverty. Because God doesn't want you to be in poverty. Poverty is a part of the curse. So that's point number one. It's a long introduction this morning. Secondly, God's plan for us has always been that we expand and we increase. That's God's plan for us. We see this right throughout the Bible. Go forth and multiply basically Adam and Eve. You know, go and subdue the earth, fill the earth. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world. It's all about expansion. It's all about going. It's all about enlarging. The parable of the talents. The master gives talents or money, whatever, to the three servants, and he says, go and enlarge this for me. Invest this for me until I return. Two servants do that, and they're blessed. They're actually given more responsibility as a reward, so look forward to more responsibility. But one servant, he just buried his he never enlarged it, and he was judged by the master. It's always been expand and multiply. In Ephesians 5, it talks about spiritual warfare, and it says, having done everything we can to stand firm. That's like the worst case scenario for us in the Christian life, that we stand firm. It's never that we go backwards. The Bible actually says we are not like those who shrink back. So the worst case scenario for us will be standing firm and standing strong. But most of the time, it should be going forward. It should be taking ground, going to the next level in God. That's New Testament Christianity. You think, well, Simon, this is great, but man, we're in the middle of COVID, haven't you? Goodness me, Auckland's going to level 2 and they're probably all going to come up here for holidays. I was talking to Eddie this morning. We should say to our church, all welcome, except those from Auckland. They stay away from it. Go to another church down the road. But I haven't got this as a point, but it should be. You look throughout Scripture, it's always, you know, God always asks his people to do things and attempt great things, even in unfavorable times. Now, Gideon was called to be the leader of the nation in a very unfavorable time. Paul and Silas are in the middle of prison, and they're singing and they're praying in an unfavorable time. You know, right throughout the Bible, David goes and fights Goliath, a very unfavorable time. So even in the middle of 2020, I really do believe that God's plan for us, I know it, he wants to prosper us, he wants to bless us. And he is challenging us afresh, not just as a church, but as individuals, to expand, to just think bigger. Because God has got so much more for us. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tents. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Going back into 1792, it's a while back. There's a 31-year-old preacher called William Carey. Now, here's a young fella. I can say that because I'm 45, 46. So a young upstart, 31, year old, and he had a passion burning on his heart. It was at a time of extreme Calvinism in the Western church, and so people weren't doing anything. They believed, well, there was no real free will anywhere, so if God chose that someone be saved, then they'd be saved. If God chose that someone be damned, then we couldn't do anything about it. So no one did nothing really for God, and yet there's this guy, 31-year-old William Carey, and he's got a burning passion to do stuff for God. And he reads this verse, and he's just like, this is God's plan for us to enlarge the place of our tents as the church, as Christians, to stretch our tents curtains wide, not to hold back, to lengthen our cords and to strengthen our stakes. So he starts to preach to a group of pastors, and this sermon has become known forevermore as the Deathless Sermon, because it just keeps on being powerful. And he only had 2 points. A preacher just having 2 points is pretty crazy, but he was only 31, so that's all right. This is what he said, and this was the verse that he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. That was his sermon, based out of the very verse that we're looking at, verse 2. Expect great things from God. He's encouraging these pastors, let's just think a little bit bigger. God is big. Let's think bigger, and let's go out and do some things for God. And it was such a powerful sermon with these group of pastors. These pastors actually went back to their churches and they preached the same message. And then their churches started getting on fire for God, and their congregation started actually believing for great things again and doing amazing things for God. This was the tipping point. It was has become known as the birth of the modern missions movement of people as Christians just going and doing stuff for God. It was a great reawakening of the Western church, and I really do believe that we're in a time that we desperately need to be woken up as the church again. Christy preached about it last week. We got to wake up. We got to expect bigger things for God, and we got to actually go out and do bigger stuff for God. Where's our passion? I remember going back 20 years as a youth pastor. We had a little youth ministry here called Zeal Church, and I didn't even know what I was doing back then, but God did, and he just did something amazingly despite our imperfections. And all of a sudden, I had all of these young people saying, Simon, I want to be a youth pastor when I grow up. I want to be a youth leader when I grow up. I want to go out on the mission field when I grow up. Can you help me with that? And I just had so many people, I don't know what to do. Let's just start to work this out. So I got them to actually make a commitment. Well, are you going to church one day, at least one time a week? Are you going to youth group on a Friday? Are you going into a home group? And they say, yeah, I want to do all of that. We had 100 young people signing their life away, pretty much. I was going to say selling their souls, but that's not a good thing to say in church. But why? Because God had done something on the inside of them. They had this passion to expect bigger things for God and do bigger things for God. And we've all grown up. And now we're in our 40s, and what are we doing about it? Oh, no, I'm not going to go to church this week. God's got bigger plans for you guys than binge-watching the latest thing on Netflix. He really does. God's got better plans for us than just what we're doing Monday to Friday. Let's wake up afresh as the church of God. Let's believe God for bigger and better things. Point one, enlarge the place of your tent. This is like a preacher's dream because there's like 5 or 6 points in the verse. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. I'm only just going to cover the first one this morning. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, in my thinking, it's like a little pup tent, you know, and it's like, well, how can I enlarge that? You just throw it out and go buy another one or something, you know. But the tents back in those days, they were made to last generations. They were massive things in the Middle East, and they were made with different skins, and because the family community was so strong, you didn't kick your son out when he got married and say, you'd live your life now. They actually joined their... Just kidding, Jasha. They added on. So, and when they expected, you know, one of the sons or whatever, they got married, like, well, they're going to have children soon. So they built a add-on. No pressure again, Jasha. They built an add-on, and that's how they enlarged their tents. That they expected increase, so they added on to the tents. Enlarge the place of your tent. We've got to enlarge it. We've got to enlarge whatever the tent represents for us, our lives, our church, our ministries, our dreams, our potentials. Enlarge. The prophecy doesn't say, therefore, thus saith the Lord, yea, verily I say unto thee, I am going to enlarge the place of thy tent. No, he says, enlarge, you do it. I'm going to back you up, but you start to think bigger about your life and about your potential and about your dreams. I was reading up about this experiment about fleas, as you do when you're doing sermon research. And there's a famous experiment. They put a whole lot of fleas into a glass jar and they put a lid on it. And these fleas were trying to get out, so they were whacking their heads on the top of the lid. And I know that fleas' brains have got to be pretty small, but they thought, obviously, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to hurt their heads over time. So they started not jumping, not high enough. So they jumped, but they didn't hit their heads. So just a little bit lower than the lid. And then the scientists unscrewed after however amount of time, unscrewed the lid, and these fleas never jumped out. They just continued to jump just about as high as the lid, but they never jumped out. They had learned to live in a restriction with a lid on their circumstance. And I'm thinking, how much is that like us? Based on experiences or failures or things that we've tried before or failed or even our unbelief, we are living with a lid on our lives, and God has taken off that lid. And yet we are still living as though we're fleas in a glass jar. Went to church this morning and Simon called me a flea. We so often put a lid on our lives, and I really do think we put a lid on what God wants to do in us and through us as well. Mark 6 verse 5, and I'm not even going to sort of try and explain away this verse, I'm just going to say it as it is. Jesus goes to his hometown. Now he's going all over the places and he's doing amazing miracles. He goes to his hometown, everyone knows his mum and dad, everyone probably knew him as a kid, everyone knows his siblings, and Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Another Bible translation says this: Jesus was unable to do any great miracle in Nazareth. Not he didn't do, he was unable. He couldn't do. That's amazing. Except to heal a few sick people by laying his hands upon them. He was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. No, however we want to try and explain that verse, one thing is very, very clear. Their small view of God made God small. Their small view of God made God small. And as we should all be doing as we read these Bible passages, God, please apply that to my life. And I'm starting to think, how often in my life, because of my cynical thinking, because of areas and unbelief of my life, have I hindered what God wants to do in and through me? Because I've put a lid not just on myself, but upon, you know, how big I think God is. God is so big. He is so big. We've got to remember this. Write this down if you're taking notes. Before God can expand your calling or your influence or your ministry, before God can expand your calling, I must increase your vision. Before God can expand your calling, your influence, you must increase your vision, because what we look at gets us. What we focus on in life takes up our vision. In Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6, God is encouraging Abraham. He was Abraham. They were trying to have kids for ages. They were elderly. They couldn't have kids. And this is what it says. Then the Lord took Abraham outside, obviously outside of his tent. Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. I really do believe that God had to take Abraham outside of what he was actually looking at, his own circumstances, the lid, that jar that he was living under. He had to take him actually out of that to give him a fresh new vision. Look up at the stars. This is going to be your kids. Isaiah 40, verse 12, and I love this. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? It's like, The oceans can just fit right there with God. And measuring it off between his thumb and forefinger, all of this universe, how many billions or trillions of light years it is. That is how big our God is. Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighted the mountains on hills on a scale? Let's go down to verse 22. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers for him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent for them. He tells Abraham, get outside of your own tent, of your own restrictions and the lid that you've placed on your life and your calling, and have a look at what my tent's like. It is huge. It is massive. Expand your vision. Expand your tent, because this is what I've got for you. And it's huge, bigger than what you could ever imagine. And God is saying exactly the same thing to me and to you this morning in 2020. Get outside of your own tent. Get a fresh vision, because my vision for you is so big. Your vision for you is too small. Get a bigger vision. So are we deliberately placing ourselves in opportunities like that that will expand our vision? That's why I really do believe that we've got to come to church, guys. And God bless you if you're watching this on the live stream, if we can't meet together. But if we can, we've got to come to the house of the Lord, because what we're doing here, serving a faith community with what God has called us to do, whether it, you know, we're all gifted at something, and weekly coming together and being encouraged from the Word, being spurred on from the Word, you know, where else are we going to do that? Where else are we going to be encouraged and challenged to think bigger than what we are currently? Most of this world is against us, and it's causing us and forcing us to think smaller. So let's start to think bigger. Let's get out of our current situations and get into a place where we're inspired and we're challenged to think bigger, to believe again that God is a big God, because he's huge and he's for you. He's for me. God's purpose for you is larger than you currently think. So in conclusion, just going to finish with just, this has gone really quick this morning. Just some challenging and some encouraging quotes. Charles Spurgeon, he was an amazing, he was called the Prince of Preachers. He actually preached that having a beard was godly. So he's one of my favorite preachers. He had a mega church in London in the 1800s that could fit like 5,000. So I don't know how he did that, but he was just an amazing, amazing preacher. And this is what he says about verse 2. This prophecy has been already fulfilled in a great measure, and the very wording of it is a direction for us if we desire to see the church of God increased. Make ready for God's blessing. You who are pining and groaning for greater things than these, God is about to bless you. Enlarge your tents, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes. Prepare for the coming blessing, for you are to have better and brighter days than you have ever yet known. Someone needs to hear that this morning. You are to have better and brighter days than you have ever yet known. Therefore, be no more sad, but look forward with joyful anticipation to the good things in store for you. Said back in the 1800s, Bill Bright, a little bit more modern, he was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, which is a massive movement getting the gospel into schools, mostly in America. This is what he says, and I love this. There is no higher calling or greater privilege known to man than being involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission. We can all play a part, and we should all be playing a part in fulfilling the Great Commission. And Francis of Assisi, hundreds of years ago now, says this, "Give up your small ambitions and come and save the world." Give up your small ambitions and come and save the world. God has got so much bigger things for you in life. He's got so much bigger and better things than for you to, you know, dread working Mondays to Fridays and then just can't wait for Saturdays because it's like, whew, I can forget about the week and coming back to dreaded Monday-itis again. God's got so much more for you than just like doing nothing and being always frustrated. But it means giving up and grabbing a hold of God with both hands. Getting outside of our tent of security and saying, God, I know that you've got incredible things for me. Please help me to believe again, because he's a big God. So I want to finish with something incredibly spiritual. Talk about Indiana Jones now. One of my favorite mentors in all of my life is Indiana Jones. And rewatching a little part of The Last Crusade yesterday. And I love that movie. And for those of you that don't know it, Indiana Jones is on a quest to find the Holy Grail, which is apparently the mythical cup that Jesus had the Last Supper with, I think. And, you know, incredibly valuable. And they're on this quest and they find it at the end. And then at where this temple is, I think it's Petra or something over in Jordan, there's a massive earthquake and there's a big crack that happens in the middle of the temple, and this the Holy Grail falls down onto a ledge, and then Indiana Jones is trying to reach it, but he can't reach it. He always falls into the crevasse, and his dad grabs a hold of him with one hand. He's actually holding his dad, Sean Connery at the time, holding on to Indiana Jones with both hands. So if you can imagine the picture, here's Indiana Jones and he's dangling and he's trying to get the Holy Grail down here, and he just can't quite reach it. He's got his fingers on it, but his dad's holding onto one of his hands. And he's like, Dad, I can reach this. I can almost get it. And his hands are starting to slip. Sean Connery's hands holding on so tight, he's holding on with both hands, and he's going to lose his life. And then the father says to the son, and I quote, Indiana, let it go. Let go of that piece of tin and grab a hold of me with both hands. And that was the only way he was going to survive, is if he grabbed a hold of the father with both hands. And I thought, isn't that an incredible picture of us in life? We're holding on to God and we're relying on him, but with another hand we're trying to grab a hold of all this other stuff. And we're trying to think, maybe we believe wrongly that our security and our well-being and our joy is just found in bits of paper and bits of tin and things that are going to rust and are going to be of no use. And isn't it time that we let go of those things again and grab a hold of the Father with both hands and believe and trust him with our whole entire life? Because at the end of the day, eternal life is found in God. Our hope and our security and peace, that none of that is in stuff. That is all in Jesus. So why wouldn't we want to grab a hold of him with both hands?
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.